Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this live broadcast of The Road to Recovery. I am back. I'm back from China. China. Yeah. Okay, hold on the applause, everyone. Yes, I know you're all excited to have me back on here, and I'm excited as hell to be back from China. Although I really got to tell you, I love China. That was a beautiful, absolutely beautiful country. You know, I'm sure there are many things that I did not see and was not aware of, but what I did, I was impressed. I was very impressed with China. So, you know what I didn't see? didn't see any excess drinking. Now, I don't know if there is any there. I don't even know what the rates, if any, are with alcoholism. You know, when they serve food to us in China, they only included about a 6-ounce glass, and my cohorts were drinking beer, but they got one glass of beer, and then they had to pay for the other stuff, and I don't know, they weren't really readily serving a lot of beer, so our people weren't drinking a whole lot. So, but whatever, I am back from vacation. I was gone for 2 weeks. I hope you did miss me. Okay, I certainly did miss talking with you. Actually, I missed talking to you about recovery from addictions. You're listening to The Road to Recovery. I am the host, Dan Chuba. I am an alcoholic in recovery. And what is today? Today is October 7th. What does that mean? September, October. Oh, my gosh. You know what that means, September? Yeah, that means I've been sober 23 years, 1 month, and 7 days. Continuous sobriety. That means I have not had a drink in 23 years, 1 month, and 7 days. And gosh, I'll tell you something, I feel pretty good about it, okay? So we missed the 23rd, which I was in by that time, the September 23rd in China. I was back on the 30th in China. I'm writing this down in a book, by the way. And then September 30th, home, but in no mood, to talk a whole lot, to talk live. So, and I didn't have anybody take over the show, so guess what? We didn't have a show. We have a engineer, Steve. He does my engineering for the show, and I always value and appreciate all he is and all he does. He's been spending a lot of time with his wife. This is a real twist of turn of fate for this man. Here is a man who, for 40-plus years, buried himself in a bottle, didn't care really much about what was going on in his family, his life. He had one child, I believe, a son. And then over three years ago, he chose to quit drinking and put his real energies and efforts forth to not drink, and he has been sober all this time, and good for him. Kudos to you, Steve. Very proud of you. I'm proud of what you're doing and how you're doing it, and, you know, he's taking care of his wife, something that he has not done for, you know, all the time he was out drinking, that's for sure, and yet here he is. He's doing it now. So, Steve, congratulations on doing that, and if the worst thing that happens is we don't have an engineer for the show, oh well. Okay. He was welcome to do the show if he wanted to, as probably any one of you. You guys want to come in and do the show, I'll let you. No problem. It's a live show, and I do encourage people to call in and share their thoughts, their ideas, ask questions, you know, whatever it relates to recovery in any way, shape, or form. Or if you just want to say hello and tell me what's going on in your life, that's always good too, because you are not just stumbling upon this station. You are actually looking for it. And so maybe you have some special request or need or something, but feel free to call in on our hotline. We have a hotline, believe it or not. It's area code 323-580-5755. That's 323-580-5755. And join the show if you'd care to. And we would be glad to take your questions, answer any questions we can, listen to your comments. If you had a story you wanted to share, that's great. You know, we've had some great guests on. I got to tell you something. I've been blessed with meeting some of these people. We've been on the show now, on the air now, for over 6 years. We're in our 7th year of broadcasting. And that's not anything to throw, it's not something lightly. We've been doing this every week. I heard from, by the way, my friend Anna. We met Anna from New York about 5 years ago, believe it, about a year into our program, broadcasting. And Anna has been a friend of the show ever since. And the good news is that she's doing well. And it was very interesting. She picked up the phone, and the reason why she called me was she found herself, after finding a good job, getting her green card, et cetera, getting a job. For years she was struggling, was uncertain, had to borrow money from an overbearing father, et cetera. She got a job. She was doing well. She called me up to tell me that she was actually contemplating changing jobs. Now, get this. Taking a job for less money, part-time, for no particular reason, and knowing that it would frustrate and upset her. Now, if that's not part of our addiction, you know, that's what she was used to and comfortable with, and she had been doing that for years with her before she got her green card. Now she's got a great job. She says things are going wonderful, smoothly. And now but yet there's a part of her that wants to bring chaos back into our life. So, you know, one of the things that we can help you overcome addiction-wise is chaos. That's right. If you are alcohol dependent, if you are any kind of drug, so you got cocaine, all right, heroin, opiates, oh my gosh, opiates, big time. You know, we haven't heard about a lot about them on the in the newspaper as of late. That doesn't mean that we still don't have problems. We just aren't seeing the death toll as they were, because, you know, even the president stepped forward and said, hey, we got to do something different to take care of this problem with opiates. It's, you know, stop prescribing them like candy. That would be a big part of it, right? Yes. You know, I don't know if these doctors are oblivious to what damage the opiates cause, and maybe they think in their own justification that they're doing well and it's the right thing to do, but unfortunately, too many people are dying from opiate overdose, and that is most certainly not a good thing, okay? So, ladies and gentlemen, for the next 2 hours, we are going to be on the air. We are going to be talking about this, that, or anything else that we can think of as it relates to alcohol and recovery, drugs or recovery. You got it. We're here. We are answer people, person. Just tonight it's a person. And if you're calling in from out of town, out of state, we welcome it. Out of the country, I've got some new friends from China, I know, and from across the country. I made, passed out a lot of cards. If you're listening for the first time, welcome. Okay, I hope we demonstrate to you that we have a working knowledge of what we're talking about. And if nothing else, we could listen. We could help you. We could comfort you, support you. All the things that are important and necessary for someone in recovery. Okay? Now, I get a lot of what I'm going to talk about for the week, for this week, for the Sunday night show, out of reading the newspaper or other articles that I find here, there, and everywhere. Now, I got to say, we should do a moment of silence, seriously, moment of silence for the 20 people that were just killed last night, I believe, in New York. A limousine crashed into them, and everybody, I believe, in the limousine died. And two bystanders of the 20 died as well. And I can't imagine what was happening. I certainly hope it wasn't alcohol or drug related, but if it was, you know, either way, they said it's the biggest death toll in U.S. history since 1996. So that's what, 20, 30 years ago? Long time ago, folks. You know, that's sad. And hopefully there wasn't any drugs or alcohol involved, but, you know, it certainly, somebody erred. They said the driver missed a stop sign and plowed into a parking lot. And who knows what was happening. Sometimes those drivers get caught up in the activities and aren't paying attention as they should. Or maybe somebody was distracting them. Never know. I've got some material here that we're going to talk about. Oh, so let's do that first. Let's do a moment of silence. maybe about 15 seconds. Okay, 15 seconds of silence. I wanted to go 20, but, you know, 20 on the air. I don't want people thinking that we went off the air, or if you're just catching up with us late, that we're not broadcasting again tonight, because we have been gone for the last 2 weeks. I have been gone for the last 2 weeks. My attorney friend, Richard, always says, why do you keep saying we? Who's we? And it's not we. It's really just me, but I don't know. I don't know why I say we. But I do say we, so that's just the way it is, okay? But I mean me, okay? So when I wrote up the writing this week, I put, while I am not a doctor or a psychologist, nor a psychiatrist, nor a counselor either, I do have a unique quality that I can share with my listeners, and that is I, too, am an alcoholic. However, I am in recovery for over 23 years, and I enjoy sharing my day-to-day experiences with anyone interested in knowing more or understanding what I have done to keep from falling back into my addiction. So I didn't write that correctly, but whatever. I want to throw a shout-out to a former employee of mine, Vanessa, and her family. She is surrounded by people that are using heroin. She lost an uncle a month or two ago from an overdose of heroin. They found him in a garbage dumpster. How sad. But unfortunately, she left my employ because she couldn't make it to work on a regular basis. I had no intention of really firing her. I told her to go home when she showed up late for the third time in 2 weeks. And then she chose not to come back because she didn't want to deal with my explosive, frustrating anger that sometimes erupts when I feel I'm being taken advantage of by people. Yeah, you know, I still have things to work on, folks. I am not a perfect human being. You know, and as an employer, I'm frustrated sometimes because I spend a lot of money on staff and people, and they don't do the jobs that they are supposed to, and I don't know how to, I guess, dock their pay or penalize them or something. You know, Vanessa, she quit. She just walked away. She didn't want to deal with it, and that's okay. I think she's an incredibly terrific person, and I hope she can put some distance between her family, who are users, and she's not, as far as I know, and I hope she doesn't ever go to that, fall to that. But, you know, one thing that this program has taught me, while there's a lot of people that need help out there, the most important person I've got to take care of is me. And in Vanessa's life, she doesn't have a significant other at this time, but she does have a son. And he's like 2-3 years old, and she should be spending her time, energy, and effort with that boy, okay, taking care of him. And, you know, she works a lot of hours because she's trying to get up on her feet. It's hard to raise a family on your own. It's hard to live by yourself, let alone raise a family. I had a mother, a daughter, and a granddaughter come in looking for a place to live, and they asked me if I would rent them a place that my clients had, okay, that was about $1,500, and I couldn't justify that they had enough income to be able to afford the $1,500. And the daughter says she's been looking for jobs, but they're not giving them to her. And, you know, she's got every excuse in the world, along with some piercings in her nose and lip, which may be part of the reason why she's being turned away. It's not still received by everyone to have things like that on your face. And in all fairness, she's a very nice girl, but not very committed to wanting to find employment. And so I told mom, who's working 3 jobs, that she just didn't make enough money to qualify and to do that. And I felt bad for her, and she felt bad too, and I tried to give her and recommend a smaller place. And it's amazing, you know, human nature wants what we want, don't we? We want what we want. And what I mean by that is she wasn't going to settle. She wanted a house. And she knew that she could, she thought in her mind that she could afford to pay $1,500. I can't tell you that she made that enough money to justify it, that she can do it. But you know what? People put their minds to it. If they want to do something, they're going to do it. So I wish her all the luck, but I just didn't want to take the risk and the chance on them. And that's the new me today. See, I try to take care of myself and the people around me and not try to fix people that are broken. Okay? I don't know about you. Do you ever try to fix someone's broken? You ever try to bring in the alcoholic, the addict, anybody that's struggling with issues, chaos? Maybe you have a chaotic person in your life and they just seem to bring craziness around you. Well, see, I don't want that anymore in my life. I had to become clear that I didn't want that. And for that, I had to make some decisions and take some actions. And it's not the easiest thing to do. It's just like, did I want all the craziness that was involved with my drinking? Not at all. Why? I had two DUIs, one in 1991 and one in 1993. And I'm not proud of them, but I am very proud of the fact that it's been, how many years now since that 93? Let's see, 93, it's 7 years to make it 93, 2000, and then another 17. No, was that right? 93, 7. Years. Oh, 24 years. That was 24 plus years ago. Okay? Something like that. I have to figure this out. Holy cow. It was the beginning of January of 1993, okay, when I got my second DUI. I never want a third DUI. I hope I never get another DUI. I will, and there's a good chance that I will not get a DUI. And why is that? Well, because I'm not drinking. Okay? I'm not drinking. I have put drinking out of my life for the moment. And I, again, hope that I don't go back to drinking ever. There's no guarantee, no promise, just because I've been sober all these years. But you know what? There's a good chance that I'm comfortable with the thought that there's not a good likelihood that I will start drinking again, especially, if I don't, I mean, that I won't get a DUI again, especially if I don't drink. If I stay away from alcohol, the chance of me getting a DUI is slim to none. And that's very cool. I got to tell you something. I'm very pleased with that because those are good odds. I can do that. I can do that pretty carefully. If I don't drink, I will not have a DUI. That's pretty much the facts, Jack. And so I make sure, and I have. I made sure that I do whatever it takes at this moment to work a program in sobriety. Part of it is the show, okay? Whether anybody is listening, believe it or not. I mean, I would love to know that people are listening to the show and they get something out of it. And I do know that from time to time we don't have very many listeners. But I do know also that sometimes we do get a few more listeners than I thought. And that's good. But the most important thing is if nobody listens, I'm spending 2 hours of my night talking about recovery. I am spending a greater portion of my week trying to think of things that we can talk about regarding recovery. So it's not like I put it all out of my mind. Not at all. I actually keep it on the forefront of my mind and recognize that I don't want to drink anymore. Alcohol, that is. I don't want to drink alcohol anymore. I have started a regimen of health. About, 2 months ago, the lovely Miss Martha, my fiance, got me walking 1 mile a day now. And she doesn't do it. She doesn't call me and say, hey, honey, get up and go to take a walk. But I get up. I'm getting up around 5 o'clock in the morning, not being really ready to go back to sleep. So I go, well, why don't I take a walk? And that's what I do. I take a walk. Sometimes I come back. I have some breakfast. I take it easy, leisurely. I fell asleep a few times, like this morning. I was up. Martha went to, the lovely Miss Martha went to church because she was singing in the choir today. So she left early and said, hey, I hope you could join me at 9 o'clock. And I had every plan to, so I sat down on the couch. Figured I'd watch a little TV for a half hour, and the half hour turned to be an hour. I woke up at 9 o'clock, and church started at 9. So I jumped in the car, raced over, got there by about quarter after 9, and still caught some of the service. So that was good. And then what happened? I left service, left the lovely Miss Martha, and being a Lions Club member, I'm a member of the Lions organization. In fact, I'm the president of the Lions Club of West Chicago, Illinois. And what does that mean? That means, you know, I had a group of volunteers who have offered their time, energy, and effort to making the world a better place. And we how do we do that? By providing glasses and hearing aids to people in need that can't afford it. And how do we do that? By raising funds throughout the year so that we can do that. And I'm pretty happy with that. So today was Candy Day weekend in our town, and we've had a lot of rain back and forth. But we managed to collect about, what do we have here, $372. And that's pretty cool. $372 should cover someone getting an eye examination by a professional eye doctor and then maybe going to down payment for some glasses if they need them, if they can't afford them. So that's what we do. And I felt great doing it. And tomorrow is, October 8th, Columbus Day. And the kids are off of school again. So they'll be out in force at this place where we use a collect. It's called Sunny Acres on North Avenue, if you've ever heard of it. It's a farm, and they cater to people, you know, they want to have rides for the kids and go to a working farm, and they could see animals get some pumpkins and some other things. I mean, they really deck this place out, and they really do a number, and they sell all kinds of things, including apple cider and apples, caramel apples. Yeah, very good to have hay rides. It's a blast. It's really a blast. So, and it's for sale, by the way. You can buy it if you'd like. So if anyone here in the world, okay, because we're broadcasting to the world, would like this place, it's 26 acres. It's called Sunny Acres. It's in the heart of some really prime real estate, and it really draws a lot of attention year-round with the different events that they host over there. And they have the place up for sale now. The matriarch, the senior lady that started it, she passed away about 6 months ago. And, well, the family would like to divvy up the cash and spend the money themselves. So there it is. That's what happens. Sometimes traditions go by the wayside because there's a dollar value on it. But maybe somebody will buy it and continue to operate it as Sunny Acres. Who knows? But it was good. It was nice to meet people. A lot of people recognize what the Lions do. People gave relatively generously. We were grateful. And we have, you know, again, these funds, all the funds we get from fundraising like this go to pay for people's eyeglasses. That's right. Pay for eyeglasses and et cetera. It's a pretty cool thing. So, you know, and that's the beautiful thing about being sober. When you're sober, like I am, I'm sober now, I do healthy things. I do things that are, you know, beneficial to other people. I have never been more content in my life. Before, I used to feel something was missing. I felt like maybe, you know, I didn't do enough, or I wasn't doing this or that or whatever, and I don't feel that way anymore. That's the cool thing. I don't feel that way. I feel like I'm actually making a difference, helping out, doing something of value to and for someone, okay? And that's a good thing, and that's a very good thing for me. So whatever works for you folks, I got to tell you something, you know, do it because it you know, don't just sit there and wait for nothing to happen or something to happen. You got to make things, you got to make some things happen in your life. Okay? And that's what I do now, is the next best thing, the next right thing. And that's, it's that simple. It's not that complicated, boys and girls. It's not that complicated, boys and girls. Boys and girls. What's complicated is this stupid phone I've got. And I've got a, what do they call this, a photo stick, a selfie photo stick. And there's a port that I'm supposed to plug in, and I don't see it. I don't have the port. People, I don't have access to the port. Oh, well, maybe there's not one available on this phone, because I've got one of these also cases that I wouldn't dare to consider having a phone anymore without a protection case, because all the number of times that I've dropped it, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Hey, you know what? One of the people that was on our show a couple weeks ago before I left, Aaron, out of California, okay, sent me one of his newest songs that he wrote. And here's a guy that's supposedly legally blind and blessed with an incredible talent for writing music, playing music, singing music, and I think I would like to share it with you. You know what? I'll wait till about 7:45, okay? We're at 7:32 now. At 7:45, we will fire up Aaron's song and play it for him, unless he's listening and he doesn't want us to do that. But he sent it to me, and I'll tell you what, this guy has blown me away with the talent and skills that he has. Now, if you remember, Aaron called in a couple weeks ago. He was dealing with depression and wanted to commit suicide. He tried several times to commit suicide. Plus, he drank himself almost to death on two different occasions, besides the suicide attempts. He had the delirium tremens, which is the DTs, okay? DTs. And he almost died. You could almost die from DTs. And that's when you just, your body takes in more alcohol than it is capable of processing. Okay, yeah, that's what happens. Our body processes alcohol. I think the liver processes it a lot. You know, and I laughed. I don't know if it's funny, but I'm here today, so I guess it was okay. When I was 12 years sober, I went to the doctor for the first time in like 12 years because I, at that time, I was able to afford insurance, and I got insurance, health insurance, and I went to a doctor and said, "Hi, doctor, can you give me a full medical, you know, workup?" Doctor said, "No problem." Doctor goes away, takes all the tests, tells me to come back for the review, and I do. And the doctor says, "Well, I got good news, and then I got some not-so-good news." And I said, "Okay, well, give me the not-so-good news first, because I always rather get it over. Let's do it." And she said, "Well, we did a test on your liver, and it appears your liver is struggling. You're going to have to quit drinking." And I had to laugh. I started laughing. She goes, "What's so funny about that?" I said, "Well, doc, as of that moment, I hadn't drank in 12 years. She goes, "Oh." And I says, "And it's that bad where it's still showing?" She goes, "Yeah, it is. So it's going to take a while for it to clean up and get better." I said, "Well, what's the good news then?" She said, "Well, the good news is that the rest of you is pretty healthy. You're in good shape. So keep up the good work, and obviously something's working." And that was 11 years ago. And here I am still standing. I know I have type 2 diabetes. I know that insurance companies no longer will take me. I have to be part of the Obamacare, because they have open registration for people like me who have an existing condition. That's what it's called. It's called an existing condition, and my existing condition is what? It's just very simple. I have type 2 diabetes. And even if I can overcome the type 2 diabetes, it won't matter, because now it is something that I had, and it just doesn't go away, obviously. And so they won't accept me even if I could. even if I clear it up, you know. And they said, well, what happens if I overcome diabetes? Because, you know, you hear it all the time. They say, oh, you can overcome diabetes. And the girl I was talking to said, nope, Sally Chally, her company wouldn't accept me because in their minds I have a still existing condition. And maybe rightfully so. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. All I know is that, bummer, I cannot get insurance again. And I had insurance this year earlier through Obamacare. But guess what? My business, which is a real estate brokerage, wasn't as successful as I would like to think it was. Okay? And ultimately, I couldn't afford to pay the $1,000, $1,200 monthly expense for my insurance, and if I wanted to keep paying staff. So I paid the staff and didn't take care of myself, and my insurance is gone. Okay, so now I have to reapply through Obamacare because they're the only ones that take existing conditions, because I applied, talked to another company, and they said, oh, my God, sounds like you're really good and you're doing good. And I said, well, I'm a type 2 diabetic. Does that matter? And they go, default. You are no longer qualified for our insurance. You can't get it from us. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? And she goes, well, I don't know if what English language you speak, but, you know, no means no. You are not going to get insured because you had this existing condition of diabetes. And I'm like, really? I mean, really? I said, really? And she said, yep. And I said, what a bummer. And she said, yep. She said, but if you know anybody else that's healthy and wants insurance, I'd be glad to take care of them. And I'm like, wow, that just sucks, doesn't it? It does suck. You know, and all I can do is be real. I am real. You know, that's me. I'm Mr. Dan the Real Estate Man. Real estate man. You know, speaking of real estate, not that we were speaking of real estate, but just to throw in an interesting segue, Friday night, I was donating my time with the City of West Chicago for their Tales Tombstones Tell. Say that fast, really quick, several times. And the thing about that is that what we do in the town, well, the museum works on it during the year and finds history about these people that have been buried and tries to trace their history back as far as they can. And this year I was telling the story of two young boys that were buried in the cemetery. They died at an early age, somewhere around 2 and 3 years old, and 2 or 3 years old, and the other one was pretty much a newborn. They both died from diphtheria, and their mother, she lived, but and she went on to have a total of 8 kids. She had 2 first, then they had these 2 kids, and they moved around. And, you know, they left town 5 years after these kids died, went from here to Maryland on the East Coast, left these kids. The only 2, the last name was Mink, M-E-N-K, only 2 Minks in this cemetery, and you know, their parents moved on. That was what they did back in those days. They just moved forward, moved on. And how sad. So they had these 2 boys with nobody to really come and stand at their gravesite and pray for them or anything like that. So we got to tell the story and tale, and my friend Mike and I, we sang Amazing Grace. You know, we even asked for the audience to participate. Amazing Grace. So let's see. Okay, good. So everything's good. That's my assistant, Debbie, working it, trying to do a good job. That's good. She was sick. Oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. What a busy day. Got a lot of stuff going on. How about you? You know, that's the amazing thing. When I sobered up, I found myself with nothing to do because I used to just hang out at the bars and use my free time to drink. I worked, but I used a lot of my free time, and it was around drinking and doing things related to drinking. Since I sobered up, I had a lot of free time, didn't know what to do, and that's where I started volunteering in different things, getting involved in the Lions Club, and, you know, I realized and recognized that that was a good thing, you know, being a, it's a good thing, being doing service work for the community, and I feel positive that I'm doing something good. And it's a great feeling to have, knowing that, you know, you're using your time effectively to help somebody out. And we do. We do a lot of things to help people, like I said, that need glasses, because there are people out there that need glasses. Good God. You know, a lot of people can't read. You know, they can't read, and they're too embarrassed to tell people that they can't read, and they don't know what to do. And, you know, again, I feel good being able to make a difference in their lives, and that's a wonderful thing. I got to tell you something. It's a very wonderful thing, and I'm just grateful that I have this opportunity to help out people that need help. And there are so many people that need help in today's world. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, they're around us. They're here, they're there, they're everywhere. There's probably some in China, but I can't do anything about the people in China, can I now? No, I can't. I have to only be able to take care of me and myself and I and my family. And I want to say, congratulations, by the way, okay, to my grandkids. That's right, my grandkids. To, what's their names? Oh, my God. Little George, which is a very cool name. And, I'm embarrassed. These are my grandkids, and I don't even remember their names. What? Serafina and George, little George. Happy first birthday to you both. I believe it was October 4th. Congratulations to Natalie and George. They are from Oceanside, California. Natalie's my daughter, my biological daughter. I am her, what did she call me? I am the biological donor of the sperm that brought her to life. You know, it's worse things being called. You know, at least they keep me and allow me an involvement in their life, and for that I'm grateful. You know, the promises, we have to read the promises. You know what? I'm going to read the promises today. We're also going to read some articles, too, about the 30th anniversary of the U.S. worst DUI crash. That's right. We are going to read that, and it's in the MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving magazine, and my lovely Miss Martha subscribes to it. Even before she met me, she was getting this and being a big supporter of it. Look at that, Southern California, Advocates in Action, okay? What's that? That has nothing to do with drunk driving. Let's read the President's Welcome. Do you remember where you were the night of May 14th, 1988? Not many of us do, but for families and friends of the 24 children and 3 adults who died in the worst drunk driving crash in U.S. history, it was a night that will plague them forever. 24 children. Oh, my gosh. It will plague forever. 13 years later, the pain of that Kentucky bus crash is still raw. 30 years later, I'm sorry. Our cover story brings to light the lifelong devastation drinking and driving inflicts on its victims and our communities as a whole. In this issue, you'll meet several survivors who are sharing their tragic stories to teach others about the dangers of driving and drinking, and to ultimately make our world roads safer. Your support is the reason MAD, M-A-D-D, can continue to fight for stronger drunk driving laws, stricter penalties, and better education awareness to someday stop this 100% preventable crime. And it is. It's 100% preventable if you don't drive. If you're going to drink, don't drive. Thanks to all of you. Thanks for all you do to help keep our loved ones safe. Please drive safely and always remember to designate a non-driving drinking driver. And I got to tell you something. I'm very happy to be a designated driver for that, for anybody that needs a ride. If I'm around, I'd be glad to drive you home. Now, what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a break here and listen to this song by Aaron and tell me what you think, okay? Died? No. Okay. It's getting there. Alrighty. That was an awesome song. Was that good or what? That's Aaron from California. What was the name of his band? I don't know. We can figure out the name of his band at some point. But yeah, here's a guy who is battling with depression, who is struggling with the intent and interest at some point to want to kill himself. Yes, and attempted suicide 2 times, and is just chock full of talent. Just unbelievably, what a gift this guy is to the world. And I'm so glad that he hasn't offed himself, because it's been a pleasure getting to know him just in the short time that I have been able to get to know him. And, well, hey, hang around there, young fella, because you're a talented guy, you know, and I'm glad that you're a friend of mine now. So we're friends, and you can also be my friend. You can call in at area code 323-580-5755. We are about 10 minutes from 8 o'clock. We're going to take another break at 8 o'clock. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll play another song. I think I got another song from Aaron. He sent them via text to me. And maybe we'll even find out, what's the name of his band? Did I write down the name of his band? Let's see. Did I write down his band? No. How come? Dan, what's wrong with you, man? Why don't you do that? That's what happens, Dan. You get off on a tangent and you drop the ball. But that's okay. If that's the worst thing I've done, that's not too bad. All right? The amazing thing about this young man, by the way, and there's plenty of amazing things. Like I said, he is legally blind. Had a girlfriend of a long time, and I don't know what exactly took place, but they took a break from each other. I don't know if it's permanent or what, but sounded like she was pretty good for him. And, that's what happens. We tend to push people away from us, and what I mean by that is alcoholics tend to push people away. Not everybody wants to believe that they're an alcoholic, but, you know, if you have this ability, this uncanny ability to be stressed out, to be feel like you're, caught up in issues, you know, you could be an alcoholic. And is that the worst thing that you have? Actually, for me, it's been the best thing, because I did not know how to live life. I grew up in a pretty messed up world and family, and you know, what was great was that I learned how to live life working the 12 steps. It took me until my late 30s, 38, to get connected with recovery from my alcoholic behavior. See, when they take away the alcohol, you still have that silly putty in between our ears. It's called our brain. Sometimes our brain doesn't work very well because we don't have a drinking problem. We don't have a drug problem. What do we have? We have a thinking problem. And our best thinking got us what? Drinking. Our best thinking got us drinking. I remember my sponsor used to tell me that. Bobby K used to tell me all the time. Our best drinking got us thinking. And that's not a good place for people like you and me to be. Thinking. When we think, we can get ourselves into some big trouble, couldn't we? Amen. That's definitely a positively, and that's a definite answer, yes. And I got to tell you something. I'm so glad that I acknowledge and recognize that I have a thinking problem. Because, you know what, at least I know what to do and what I can't do, and who I can do it with, and who can I trust with my, you know, information. Because don't we all want information on what we can and can't do? Absolutely, you know? So, yes, here it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 1. Oh, too much. Okay, we are going to play some Marilyn Scott here. We'll play Marilyn Scott the last day, as I always do at halfway point of our broadcast and show. And listen, because if today was the last of all days, would you like what you saw looking down from heaven? Do you feel like you really accomplished what you should or wanted to while you're here on the earth? There's always a chance and always the ability to change what you're doing right now. Change it starting now. Okay, no excuses, no nothing. Just move forward. Don't go into the light. Yeah, this Tombstone Tales. Did I tell you about that? Was I talking about Tombstone Tales? I was telling you. One of my favorite last night was to tell people to follow the luminary lights along the road. Just don't go into the lights. You know, leave seemingly that you're going to go and meet the maker. Okay, we wanted him to stick around. Okay, so we're going to play a little Marilyn Scott. Today was the last of all days. We'll be back on the road to recovery with maybe a new song from Aaron. Okay?
If today were the last of all days, would it change how you feel who you are? Would you rise for a moment above all your fears, become one with the moon and the stars? Would you like what you see looking down? Did you give everything? Have you done everything that you wanted to do? Is there still so much more that you would? Follow your dream to the end of the rainbow, waving on one pot of gold. Open your eyes to the colors around you and find the true beauty. Would you live for the moment like when you were young? Time didn't travel so fast. Be free in the present, enjoying the now, not tied to a future or past. Follow your dream to the end of the rainbow. That we'd only begin to start living our lives if today were the last of all days. If today were the last of all days.
I'll tell you what, those are some pretty darn good songs, don't you think, boys and girls, moms and dads? Yes, that is from Aaron. What a talent, a talented gentleman in California. You know, Aaron, you got a message there. It's beautiful. Just absolutely, I just love your music. So please, keep it up. Keep up doing the good stuff, because that's always a good thing. And, you know, it's just amazing how talented people, you know, Robin Williams used to play with and toy with death. And maybe he didn't try to kill himself. Maybe he was trying some auto asphyxia, whatever. You know, you play with fire, you're going to get burned. You know, I mean, it's just that simple. You know, and what happened is, who knows? We don't know what exactly happened to that gentleman. It's too bad that he ended up dying, you know. Always a sad thing when we lose somebody gifted, talented like that. Very sad, okay? But, yeah, I want to play that one song again, that first song that Aaron sent me. It was really good. So sit back and listen one more time to another song by Aaron. is going on here? Stopping in the middle of the song here. What happened, Mr. Aaron? Yeah, we got a little glitch here, huh? Now we lost sound. Oh, I love modern technology. It sucks. Oh, well. Okay, if that's the worst thing that's happened to us today, that's okay. You're listening to The Road to Recovery here on Blog Talk Radio. We're part of the Link Local Network of Broadcasting, brought to you by... What's his name? McMurray. Bill? No, not Bill McMurray. I don't know what his name is. I forget it. What is his name? Let's see if we can find his name. Let's see. What is that today? Okay. Well, that's good to know. That is good to know, but that's not what I'm looking for. Bill McMurray? No, it's not Bill. Is it not Bill McMurray? What was the guy, the famous guy that did My Three Sons? Fred, there it is, Fred McMurray. Okay, I'm waiting for an update on Fred because he's creating a new network and he thinks that we're going to all shift over there. Maybe we will. Who knows? To his new network broadcast. But in the meantime, we're still here. We're still doing our show every week, 7 to 9 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio, you know, and it works sometimes and sometimes it doesn't. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a big fan, and I won't lose a lot of sleep if we leave this broadcast station because there's not a lot of people that pay attention to you when you're complaining, and they don't take care of things as they should, so... There you have it. You know, things happen. If they don't work, you just move on, move on, move on, move on. Okay, but that's all right. We're not moving on just this minute. Right now, we are just continuing to do our broadcast, our show, which is a good thing. We like it. We like doing it. We hope somebody gets something out of it besides us. You know, it's nice to know. You know, again, learning to relax, learning not to get excited, that's a process. You know, some of us struggle, and I'm getting better at it. I'll be honest with you. I'm getting better at it. I'm not going to tell you I'm all better, but I am getting better at it, at the whole concept of not getting that excited about things like I used to, because that's what I did. I used to get excited about everything, and when things didn't work out the way I wanted to, then I would flip. And, you know, we call that expectations, most of them. And I had the occasion, this is great, you know, I had the occasion to let some person know that we don't have a right to have expectation. And where the heck did I hear that from? I heard it from my former sponsor, Bobby Kay, who was a great sponsor when he was doing his thing, you know. And he is doing his own thing now, but he's in Southern Illinois. He's there with his wife. I think this is his third wife. But, you know, he seems to have settled into something that works for him. His kids are all grown and gone. That's always a good thing. That's always good when you don't have to be responsible for children anymore. You know, and the children can be responsible for themselves. You know, that's an incredible thing in itself. Can kids be responsible for themselves? You know, there's always a question because of the millennials and what the belief system is. Can they actually take care of themselves? I don't know. That's a good question. Parents, you know, part of the Tough Love program is to let your kids, you know, make or break it on their own. And a lot of parents don't want to do that. They're afraid for some reason that they... If they do that, maybe it'll look reflect bad on them, or maybe they feel that's just the best way to do this is raise kids by taking care of them and you know, doing all these crazy things for them when they should be doing them for themselves. And that is that's a real thing. It's a real challenge and issue and problem that kids today have, that they just aren't accountable. They don't take care of themselves. They don't, you know, well, we have the problem with real estate. You know, the world has gotten used to every generation for the last several years stepping up to the plate when possible to purchase. And we've faced a generation called the millennials that no longer want to own property. They don't want to own much of anything. They don't want stuff in their lives. So all the antiques and collectibles that our parents have been saving with the thought, hopes, wishes, and dreams that our kids will value them as much as we do, guess what? They couldn't care less. Yeah, that's correct. They don't care less whether they're going to keep these, you know, antiques or whatever. They just pretty much throw them out. They don't want old crap. They want new crap. They want new crap. I want some new crap. How about some new crap? You got some new crap for me? Yes, sir. Yes, we do. We have some new crap. Would you like some? What kind of new crap would you like? Well, let's see. I'm a little particular about what crap I put, you know, in my life. So it's got to be old. That's always a good thing. Good step, good stage. When you get some old crap, you know, you get it and you, yep. Good stuff. Okay, but they don't want it. They don't want crap. Okay, kids today don't want parents' crap. We hear a lot of how this stuff goes right into the dumpster. And I'm sure that, you know, well, the lovely Miss Martha will have the joy or the curse of getting rid of my stuff. And she can do whatever she wants. If she wants to give it away, throw it away, sell it, keep it, make it, whatever she wants, guess what? It's going to be hers to do. It's not going to be my son's. It is not going to be my daughter's. Because they just pretty much don't want it, okay? And my son made it pretty clear he's not interested in my stuff. And that's okay. You know, you just don't know what is the right thing always to do. Don't always know that. It would be wonderful if we knew exactly what to do, the right thing. I know intuitively we learn what the next right thing is to do in our lives, okay? And that is through the program of recovery. Yes, that's one of the things that we boast about, is that we have become intuitively in sync with what we believe that Lord, the higher power, Jesus Christ, would like of our time, energies, and intentions. You know, and I got to tell you something. I got to pray sometime, because the number one, you know what the number one thing that I pray for in my life? You'd be surprised. I'll tell you what. I will give a prize if someone could tell me what you think, what I pray for from Heavenly God above, okay? I'll give you just 8:30, okay? Let me write this down so I don't forget. But 8:30, what do I pray for mostly? 8 p.m. What does Dan pray for? Mostly, it's probably my number one thing that I pray for, you know. So what would you pray for? What are you comfortable, happy with where you're at? Are you satisfied with your life the way it is? And there's nothing wrong with not being satisfied. There isn't. You can not. You don't have to be satisfied if you're not. Absolutely not. You don't have to. But it's better if you are satisfied. And we want you to be satisfied. And whatever we can do to make that happen, that's a good thing, right? Okay, let's see. What else do we want to talk about? Something of a good nature? Good nature. Like a good nature State Farm in there. Okay, this particular individual wants a lot of this stuff to be happening. And I don't think that that is a good thing, and that's the case, but it is what it is, right? Again, what is what you do? What is where you do it? Okay. And if you don't know, well, I can't help you. Okay. Let's see. Get back to the show. Area code 323-580-5755. I got to tell you, I'm a little tired, a little wore out here. Long day standing out selling, or not selling, but offering candy to people going by. Oh, I was going to read this story about the 30th anniversary of the U.S.'s worst DUI crash. Okay. Even though I'm an adult, I'm trapped at 15, I'm still trying to heal, says survivor Quentin Higgins of the worst drunk driving crash in U.S. history. This year marked the 30th anniversary of the horrific May 14th, 1988 Kentucky bus crash. Excuse me. That night, 24 children and three adults were killed by a drunk driver named Larry Mahoney. 1 minute, 66 happy, tired passengers were on their way home from a fun day at a theme park. The next minute, there was a collision and a giant fireball swept through their bus. Quentin is one of 39 children, plus one adult, who survived the fiery crash. He sustained lung damage as well as second and third degree burns to his hands, arms, and neck. But perhaps his worst injury is survivor's guilt. It stays with you, he says. Why did so many die and we lived? Now a bus driver, Quentin says, I started hearing kids talk about drugs and alcohol, and I decided I could make an impact by telling the story of those who died. His message to school kids includes a memorial tribute, a bus that is identical to the one he rode in that terrible night. Inside the bus, photos and stories of the victims mark the seats that they sat in the night they died. It impacts you to step into this bus and see these kids' faces, he says. They were real people. One of those children was Patty. Where did you go, Patty? Where's the rest of your story? Patty Nirmaly, who was only 10 when she died, the youngest victim of the crash. Her mom, Carolyn, says she will never get over Patty's death. Even though it has been 30 years, I still have dark, dark days. Carolyn says Patty's death gave her the courage to fight to end drunk driving. She became a victim advocate and then MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, national president from 1998 to 1999. Carolyn says MAD will always hold a special place in my heart. I'm still in the fight because there are still victims of this violent crime. Quentin says he can't get past the fact that Mahoney's friends let him drive that night. It's his fault, yes, but his friends knew he was impaired and still let him get behind the wheel. Mahoney, oh my gosh, he obviously survived, served just 10 years in jail before his release in 1999. He didn't get up and plan this. He made an awful, crazy, stupid decision to drink and drive, says Quentin. And people do this every single day. And they do. And I got to tell you something. When I was out there drinking, I did too. I drank and drove. You know, because we minimize it. We think it's not going to happen to us. That's the big thing. We constantly think that no matter what bad things people warn us of, etc., that it won't happen to us. And how untrue, unfair that is to everyone else on the road. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? Everyone else on the road is contemplating and thinking that, you know, they want to just get home to their families, their wives and stuff. And yet here are the drinkers saying, oh, not a big deal. It won't happen to me. I won't be that statistic. I won't get pulled over and get a DUI. I won't have problems negotiating and navigating with this gear that I have. And that's so unfair and so untrue because, you know, I didn't want anybody to know or to think I knew that I was an alcoholic. That's right, and yet I was, and I knew it. And, you know, I just couldn't make heads or tails on what kind of alcoholism I had. So, you know, of course we bring in the guns, you know, the people that are doing this on a regular, most regular basis. And you know, sometimes I just talk and don't know what the hell I'm saying. I think I lost my train of thought here. Okay, 8:25. Maybe we should read more. I was reading in the Reader's Digest, too, by the way. And what was I reading? I don't know. Let's see here. What? Let me see. I had a couple of things I wanted to read. Okay. Let's see. Well, there's time. Let's see. I wanted to read. Oh, I wanted to look for the promises, too. Let's go on the internet. Let's jump on the internet. Alcoholics 12 promise. No, they're not the 12 promises. They're just the promises. You gotta spell alcoholics correctly. Promises. Let's see. Promises. Boy, if they can find it doing that, it's pretty good because I really am. Things you got your right. Promises out your. What are they? Let's see. Are they 12 of them? Wow, they get like goes on and on and on here. I don't know. That's what I'm looking for. Huh. I don't think that's what I'm looking for. Well, let's go back. Or can we? Can we go back? Yeah, we can. Okay. Here we go. AA promises. They're found on page 83 and 84 of chapter 6, Into Action, also known as the Big Book, written by Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob. The 12 promises of AA are presented as part of a working step 9, which involves making amends. Okay, what are the promises? Here they are. I'm going to read them to you. The 12 promises of AA are as follows. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. The promises states that people who complete the AA program and make a sincere effort will begin to see changes in their lives even before they are halfway done. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. People who finish the steps will experience relief from the suffering of addiction and feel free to pursue a new life without alcohol. Number 3, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Those who work the program will gain a sense of acceptance that allows them to process their experiences, learn from them, and move on without guilt. Number 4, we will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. Addiction can lead to a constant state of inner turmoil. The AA program helps people to find a calmness that is rare doing active using, and that many addicts have never known in their lives. A calmness that is rare. Calmness that, you know, and my friend, Anna, what did she want to do? She wanted to go back and regress in her life and take on a job paying less money, less hours, and more controversy and challenge. And she actually gave it some serious thought about it. And she asked me my thought. And I'm like, Anna, do you really want to take a step back? You've done so well. And that's why we have, it's a WE program. Do you understand? A WE program got me to talk to her about it and really think, is that what you want to do? I mean, it's a conscious choice whether she wants to do it or not. And I hope she doesn't. I hope her decision-making was no. But you know what? You never really know. You never really know. And whatever happens, que sera, sera. Right? Que sera. What will be, because so saith the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. Okay. I will continue reading the promises. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. Addiction can lead to a constant state of inner turmoil. The AA program helps people find a calmness that is rare during active using and that many addicts have never known in their lives. No matter how far, number five, how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. Many addicts don't believe that other people understand what they've been through, but in AA, they often meet people who can identify with them and learn from their experiences. Number six, the feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. Addiction makes users feel worthless and guilty about their actions. The steps can give people a sense that their lives have meaning and purpose, especially when helping others. That's right. Okay, we don't want that. Less is better. Okay. Number seven, we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Addiction leads to many self-centered behaviors. Helping others, people, find recovery can bring addicts outside of themselves and help them to develop a genuine interest in other people. Number eight, self-seeking will slip away. The tunnel vision of focusing only on oneself and drinking usually begins to fade as people work the steps. Number nine, our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. AA can shift one's perspective from hopeless to hope. People can begin to imagine a life where they are happy. Number 10, fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. He's an auto mechanic. I don't know how that's affected by the weather, okay? But let's see. Economic insecurity. There's plenty of work for mechanics, I'll tell you that. Mechanics, plumbers, heating and cooling. That's probably the field to get into if you want to do very well. Heating and cooling. Nice guys, man, they're working all year round. Okay, let's see. Well, let's just go to eight. Self-seeking will slip away. The tunnel vision of focusing only on oneself and drinking usually begins to fade as people work the steps. Number nine, our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. AA can shift one's perspective from hopeless to hope. People can begin to imagine a life where they are happy. And you, really, it was great. When I didn't have to worry about DUIs or being arrested for drunk and disorderly, my life changed. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. Alcoholics who recover through AA don't feel like they have to hide anymore and worry about how to support their addiction and maintain financial security. And that's me. I don't have to worry about that. Partially because I'm not into drinking or drugging anymore. So that's a big plus. I don't have to worry about that bringing me down, you know, because alcohol is a depressant. Yes, it is. Number 11, we will intuitively know how to handle situations we used to baffle us. As the AA member gets deeper into the recovery process, we begin to see situations more clearly and can tap on to their inner resources. Number 12, we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. The concept of a higher power is central to AA. The higher power, be it God or something else, becomes a guiding force in the person's life. So there you have it, boys and girls, moms and dads, the promises as they were told to us, okay? The promises. Copy that. Let's see if we can get this transferred properly. And we're going to paste it no matter how. Okay, that's good. Let's see if we can get the rest of the, that was through five. We're going to click this. Good. And then we're going to go, let's do this. How's that? Copy. Okay, we're done with that. Let's put it here. One started. There we go. All right. We're going to okay. Okay, well, there you have it. And I'm going to send this email with all the promises to myself. That way I will have them. And if I want to share them again, I will have them with a notation of the 12 promises. Okay, send that off. And there you have it. Okay, now let's get back to the show, which we never left the show. We just keep talking and we keep talking and we keep talking. And you know, we learn a little bit each time we do it. It's a good thing to do, review that information. It really is. Gives us some guidance, some direction, some peace, some satisfaction. All the above, none of the above. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You know what? I got to tell you, folks, I'm really tired. I don't know why. First time I've been talking a lot. And it's kind of hard to talk when there's nobody to talk with. Two, I could always talk to, but I'm falling asleep here. And I was up and out of the house, I'd say not till about 6 o'clock this morning. So it wasn't like I was an early bird, but it was still early enough, and I'm tired. So you know what? We are going to stop the show in 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Unless somebody calls and says, hey, Dan, we really need to talk to you and share some things with you. We'll be off the air 5 minutes from now, anticipating doing this again next Sunday. I have a couple people that would like to come on the show and just weren't ready for it. My friend Richard, who is an improv specialist, and you know what he does, so maybe he'll join us. Oh, and I said, what does Dan... Nobody called. What does Dan pray for mostly? What is the one thing I pray for mostly? And that is wisdom. I pray for wisdom to know the difference between, you know, and that is the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can change, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that's always a tough one, because sometimes as an alcoholic we go, hey, I can do that and I'm going to try it out and take it on myself. And that's not necessarily a good idea. But the long and short of it is that I have to pray for that wisdom to know what to do and where to do it and who to do it with, right? That's really funny. I've got a lighter that I don't use. I think it's empty. That's why nothing's lighting up. Oh, well. All right. Thank you for listening to the show and the broadcast tonight. I appreciate it. If you've gotten anything out of it, that's great. If you'd like to send me an email at any time, Daniel, Daniel, at daare.com. You can contact me during the week by calling my 1-800 number, 1-800-427-5968. And if you can't remember that, then remember 1-800-I-ASK-YOU, and that's 427-5968. We'll have a guest next week, maybe not. Maybe Steve will be with us, maybe not. But either way, we want you to have a great week. We want you to make it a point to say hello to somebody who you haven't said hello to. It's always a good thing to, you know, when you make somebody smile, it kind of comes back and makes you feel even better. What else? I'm going to do some candy hawking tomorrow for the Lions, see if we can get a few more dollars and get, you know, then we can pay for a pair of glasses. And I'm going to go home to my fiance, Martha, and give her a big hug and tell her I love her. So say hello to somebody and get hugging, man. You need to give hugs. Hugs is a very good thing. I always give hugs, and they are wonderful. And you know what? They don't do a lot of in China. They don't hug. Absolutely. So have a great week, people. Unless you have other plans, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you again next Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. here on the Road to Recovery on Blog Talk Radio, part of the Linked Local Network of Broadcasting. Good night.